Well, what we're going to do right now is come to the table of the Lord, and I trust that you'll leave here fed, challenged, and encouraged in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 4. Today we're going to, I'll say begin, but really last week I started a series of messages regarding this new year, 2020. And today we're looking at the topic 2020 in focus, can you see God at work? And the thing I want you to understand, folks, is for us to be able to anticipate and see God at work in the future is by being reminded of what He has accomplished in our past. And so today we're going to take time to reflect. We're going to take time to remember, and it's my prayer that as we are reminded about the faithfulness of the Lord in the past, it will give us the faith that's necessary to move forward in the days ahead. Now, I want you to know that these messages, as I am preparing them, I am doing so with the church in mind. But everything that is true of the church is true of you as an individual if you are a part of the body of Christ. Now, I'm not speaking solely of being a part of First Baptist Church. We may have guests that are here, and you name Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a part of the church, the universal church. Ultimately, it's God's design for us to find that local congregation and be a part of. And as you worship with us, I trust that God will affirm what direction He would have for you in terms of identifying that local church. If it be this fellowship as God works in your life, we certainly would welcome and receive you. But today I want us to take time to remember. And again, while the message is directed to us as a body of believers, it applies to every one of us as followers of Christ individually. And I say that because at the end of our time together, we're going to reflect and remember those milestones, if you will, those spiritual markers, how God has shown Himself faithful to us in the past. But I want you, as we walk through this together, to think about your own personal life. Because you too, individually, should be able to identify the work of God in your past. And with identifying that and reflecting and remembering, I pray that it will give you confidence to move forward in the days ahead. Well, just a little bit of background regarding Joshua. It is the first of 12 books in the Old Testament that are known as historical books. It's a part of that Old Testament that's identified as historical. That would be Joshua through Esther. And it records the history of Israel. And underneath the ministry and the leadership of Joshua, Israel learned a very valuable lesson. If you look back at their history, there were three major military campaigns. There were no less than 30 enemies. So don't be discouraged, right? They had no less than 30 enemies. And here's the lesson that they learned. They learned that victory came through faith in the Lord and obedience to God's word rather than through military strength or the superiority of numbers. Did you hear that? Victory, as you think about victory in your own life, church, as we think about victory in terms of God's calling and equipping and working through our lives, it is based upon our willingness to trust and follow Him in faith and obedience to His word rather than external things that oftentimes we associate with being our strength. Today we begin this series looking at what God has done to increase our faith, to trust Him for what He wants to do. And Joshua is a good example of the importance of our taking the time to remember. Now in chapter 3, listen to what Joshua says. And let me back up. In chapter 4 is the historical record of the children of Israel under Joshua's leadership crossing the Jordan River, not the Red Sea, all right? They crossed the Red Sea or went through the Red Sea with Moses. Moses is to the side now. Joshua's in leadership. And they had the same dilemma with the Jordan River, of being able to cross it. It was impossible for the number of people they had and the distance of the river for them to be able to cross. And God miraculously divided the waters. And the people were able to cross through on dry ground. With that, God told Joshua, each tribe, 12, to identify a man to take from the riverbed one rock, take it with you to where you'll be lodging, and establish a memorial to this historical event. Establish a memorial so you won't forget my faithfulness. Establish a memorial so you will have an opportunity to teach the generations to come. So prior to that event in chapter 4, listen to this challenge. And folks, it's a challenge that I offer to you today, as well as to myself. Joshua in chapter 3, verse 5, said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wondrous wonders among you." And I say to you, church, sanctify yourselves. Because in this coming year, in the years ahead, God will do wonders among us if we present ourselves an instrument through which He can be honored and glorified. Now, that idea of sanctify, it means to be set apart from the world and selfishness, sinfulness, and set apart to the holiness and righteousness of God. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And I want you to know, folks, that principle is still true today, that God will do immeasurably more. God will do the unexplainable in and through your life if we'll make ourselves available as that vessel of honor. And I want you to keep in mind this morning as we talk through Joshua chapter 4 and the book of Joshua as a whole, it deals with much more than just ancient history. It is the Word of God for us today. And it has principles that apply to your life and my life and the life of the church. It's addressing what God wants to do in our lives and through the life of His people when we fully trust Him. Now I want you to hear this thought, this quote from Warren Wiersbe. In the Christian life, you are either an overcomer or you have been overcome. Now, I want you to think about moving forward in this new year. In the Christian life, you are either an overcomer or you've been overcome. You're a victor or you're a victim. God didn't redeem us to be a monument on display, but rather a soldier to advance His kingdom's purpose. God did not redeem us, church, to be a monument, but rather to be a force, an army in darkness, a light in darkness to advance His kingdom's purpose. Moses said it this way in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. He brought us out from there. Where's there? It was the wilderness. It was Egyptian bondage. He brought us out from there. And that was it. No. He brought us out from there that He might bring us in. And Moses said, look, God brought us out of bondage, not just to leave us, but rather to bless us and to take us to that next step, to take us in to that promised land. And so, folks, as you look at that and you make application to your life individually as a follower of Jesus Christ, God didn't redeem you to be a monument. He redeemed you to be a soldier to advance. He brought you from there in the bondage of sin. He brought you from there that He might bring you in into the fullness of Christ. And living successfully as a follower of Jesus Christ. He brought us out from there that He might bring us in and give us the land that He swore to give to our fathers. And so again, the application to our life today is to realize that what God has done in my past in liberating and freeing me from the penalty and judgment of sin, He brought me from there that He might bring me in to the fullness of Christ and what He wants to do in and through my life. The theme of the book of Joshua is let's go on. And I would say that's a good thing for us as God's people as we look into 2020 is let's go on. Let's move forward. Let's advance the things of the Lord that honor Him. But many of you are familiar with this story, and while the book of Joshua is let's go on, there were others who said, nah, let's just stay right here. And it was some 40 years later, under Joshua's leadership and Caleb, that they were able to move on. And how did they move on? By faith. The people said, we are not able. That's unbelief. And it cost them 40 years of discipline in the wilderness. But there was that remnant of God's people that said, no, through faith, let's go on. Finally, before we get into our text in 1 John 5:4. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. You remember last week, if you were here, that sin that so easily ensnares us. Many believe that the writer was speaking of faith. That when we lack faith, when we show unbelief, that is a sin that ensnares us, that keeps us from moving forward. Well, this morning, I believe one of the greatest builders of our faith is to take time to remember, to take time to reflect on how God has faithfully led us in the past, even during times of difficulty. And so, in chapter 4, I want us to look at verses 1 through 9. And we're going to talk about the whole chapter, but I want us to focus right now on verses 1 through 9. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take yourselves 12 men from the tribe, one from every tribe, and command them, saying, take yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from that dry riverbed, as a result of the Lord's parting the river, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, took up the 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to a place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the river. So in addition to the fact that they were taking 12 out of the riverbed with them to a designated location to put up this memorial for the purpose of being able to answer to the next generation when they ask, what does this memorial mean? And they could share with them, this is how God blessed us in the past. Therefore, you can trust Him for the future. In addition to that, Joshua in verse 9 set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. And so this monument that Joshua built basically was covered when the waters came back. And there's a thought here. There's a principle here. There are a lot of times, folks, that God blesses us and we just forget. The truth be known that there are more times God has blessed me and I have forgotten that blessing than times that I remember. I need to be reminded. And then verses 10 through 18 are basically a review of what has already taken place. And it says in verse 18, it came to pass when the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. And so then verse 19 is picking up after this event. Now the people came from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. They came to Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took up out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, "When your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall let your children know, saying, 'Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters on the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" The importance of being reminded. The importance of taking time to remember the past works of the Lord. It's important that Israel would never forget this historic day, because they would face adversary. They would face challenge ahead. And that truth could be revealed not only to themselves, but to the next generation of the faithfulness and the goodness of God in the past. Thus, giving them the faith to move forward in the future. And again, verses 10 through 18 are a review of the details. Verse 18 tells us that the waters returned, overflowing the riverbanks. You know what happened? When that took place, Israel could look back, but they couldn't go back. Does that make sense? I mean, they couldn't pass through the waters without the Lord making provision and opening up that way. And once He opened them up and they passed through, then when the last person was through, those waters came back and flooded the riverbank, the riverbed, and the banks overflowed. And so while they could look back, they could not go back. And so hear me say this as we talk about a time to remember this morning. Again, there's a basic principle, and it's simply this. We need to take time to reflect. We need to take time to remember of what God has done and His faithfulness in the past. But we do not need to go back there. And so many of us like to stay. We just want to stay in the present. Well, let me tell you what's true of the present. It eventually becomes the past. And you cannot stay in the past. And so this is not about living in the past. This is about remembering the good hand of the Lord through time to build the faith of His people to move forward in the future. And then a second thought is the reason of being reminded of the Lord's past works. What reason are we given to remember the blessings of the Lord in the past? And you see that in verses 5 and 6 where he says, "Cross over before the ark," Joshua speaking of the Lord your God, "in the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulders according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel." And here's the reason. "That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?'" And then you see in verse 21, he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall let your children know, saying, 'Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. And so there's two reasons. This is important, of remembering and having these spiritual markers, having these milestones, if you will, these memorials. First of all, it is to witness to the generation to come. I want you to know and understand that everything that the Bible teaches us is about that of not only our knowing Christ, but our sharing that knowledge with the generation that is to come. And so, parents, one of the challenges in discipling our children is that they might know our journey. They might know our story. That they know of the time that God did a work of transformation in your life. We sang earlier about we remember, and even reflecting and remembering that day when you first came to an understanding of Jesus Christ, you put a spiritual marker down. And let me tell you something, folks, there'll be times when you need to go back and reflect upon that and be reminded of the fact that God, if He saved me, He can keep me. And you need those spiritual markers in your life to go back, to build your faith so you can move forward with what God wants to do in your life. And it is essential that the next generation knows. There was a time when it was said of our nation that we're one generation from being a pagan nation. I would tell you that generation is here. And God forgive us. When we've emphasized the things that have minor importance and neglected what has the major importance, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of our challenges as a body of believers is to tell our stories, to tell it to the next generation, and be prepared to witness not only to the generation that follows us, but to a generation that has not even yet been born, that there is a gospel witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we need to be reminded. Is that part of that sharing and remembrance is with a generation that follows us. And then in verse 24, it is to make the Lord's work known to all people. To all people. That all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. I have said for years, I could care less when people drive past this campus if they know that we're First Baptist Church Garner. I don't even care if they know that we're Baptists. I do care that they know that there's a people here that love Jesus Christ. All people need to know that. They need to know that God brought us from there to take us in. And that God is not finished wherever you are in this journey called Christian life. And even as a church family, God's work is not finished in our lives. He didn't bring us from there to leave us. He brought us from there to take us in. And to help us do the work that He's called and gifted us to do. And so I hope you see this morning the importance of remembering. Not that you go back and relive the past. You can't. But you go back and remind yourselves, that we remind ourselves of the good hand of the Lord and the favor He has shown us. And we trust Him for moving forward in the years before. And so with that, I want to spend the balance of our time remembering the Lord's blessings and the faithfulness of the Lord in our church family. And so I want you to see these bullet points as stones. A memorial that I want to build today to help us reflect and remember the Lord's blessings on our fellowship. And I can tell you there's more than what I have time to share with you just in the years that I've been a part of this fellowship. But I want to begin by laying a stone that recognizes and reflects and remembers the establishment of this fellowship as a church family. November the 2nd, 1887. Does anybody remember that? How do we know? Well, thankfully, somebody put down a stone. And on November the 2nd, 1887, this fellowship was birthed and went by the name of Garner Baptist Church. Not First Baptist, Garner Baptist Church. When it was established, sermons were oftentimes preached by students from Wake Forest College. You know where Wake Forest College is? What is Wake Forest College? Southeastern in Wake Forest. It used to be a college. Now it's our seminary. And so preacher boys, ain't that? That's what we call them, right? They would come and fill the pulpit. 23 members in that RBA, Raleigh Baptist Association, minutes recorded 23 members at this time. Aren't you thankful for that they had the faith and the trust to plant a fellowship in this community that you and I are reaping the fruit from today? Aren't you thankful for them? That's not a rhetorical question. Aren't you thankful for them? Amen. 132 years ago, and still the labor of love that birthed this fellowship, the fruit is still being produced as a result of their faithfulness. The annual salary of the preacher, I thought I would throw this in. The annual salary of the pastor in 1888 was $75. We can't go back to the past. I just want to make sure y'all hear that, all right? Annual salary, $75. Fast forward, April the 8th, this is a second memorial stone that I want to place down today. April the 8th, 1951, the church voted to purchase 3 or more acres for $3,000 on St. Mary's Street. You see, when this church was first established, its first campus was in downtown Garner. Have y'all ever been there? I remember the first time Tammy and I, we came in 1992. We were looking for Garner. I finally figured out that Highway 70 was Main Street. I mean, but it was over on what we call Old Garner. And as the story has been relayed to me, there was conversation of why do we want to move way out in the country? Funny, isn't it? There was probably people at that time not laughing. Why do we want to move way out in the country? April 8th, 1951, in a church conference, the pastor could not be here to moderate that conference. I might learn some lessons from that. And Mr. Tom Balcom moderated that meeting. Now, some of you don't know who Mr. Tom Balcom is, but Mr. Tom's probably 97, 98 years old now and has been an integral part of leadership in our church family for decades. Isn't that amazing? And so while the church purchased 3 acres in 1951, the first worship service took place on this campus in June 17th of 1956. And within quotes, it says, with minimum amount of confusion. And that's amazing for Baptists. Minimum amount of confusion. The next stone that I would put down for us is the expanding of this current campus with additional worship space, with additional education space. While they purchased 3 acres, we now are stewards of over 8 acres or around 8 acres on our campus. The first building would be the building to my right. That was the first worship facility. And this facility, I believe, was built in the 60s. And it took faith. The emphasis to tithe was established when it came to expanding this campus. I can tell you when I became a part of this fellowship, there was a building process taking place. If you go in a building closest, that's attached here to my right, closest to us. If you walk through that building, you'll see that the interior looks different. It's because the far end of it was its own standing facility. It was an education building separate from the worship center. And when I came in 1992, the foundation had been dug to connect that existing building and expand it with new construction and attach it to our worship center. In 1994, when I became your pastor, we had debt on that building. And we did a campaign called Mortars to Missions. And with that, our church family embraced the fact that while God has blessed and called us to build His kingdom, it's not to build building, it's to build lives. And so to keep that before us, we made a commitment that everything that would come in to retire that debt, 10% of it would go to missions, so that we would not lose the emphasis and the focus of what God was doing in our fellowship. We did a 3-year campaign, and the pledges at the end of that time of pledging was less than what our debt was. But let me tell you what God did. While our pledges were less than what our debt was in 3-year time frame, in less than 2, and best I can remember, it was 22 months, God retired the debt on that building, and we were able to purchase property that now Child Evangelism Fellowship uses as its office. God did more with 90% than what we could do with 100%. And since then, we have had emphasis with different varying campaigns, Challenge to Build, again, Mortars to Missions, there's others, and then expanding God's kingdom. And then finally, E320. And all of this is recognizing the fact that God expands His kingdom's work and gives us resources and tools, but ultimately our call is to build into the lives of people, and thus we are diligent in making sure we tie 10% of that. Another stone would be multiple services. Now, that doesn't seem like a very significant thing, but when you take a traditional church that has 9:45 Sunday school and 11 o'clock worship and say, now we want you to change, that's pretty big, isn't it? But through that, God expanded our capabilities of using the resources, doubling the use of our resources. And with that, we became a campus that was used not only on Wednesdays and Sundays, but was used throughout the week. And a ministry called Community of Hope over 15 years ago was established to where this campus now is used 5, sometimes 7 days a week to advance the kingdom of God. And then the last stone I want to put down is the Timber East property. Because I think that somewhere through time, we've forgotten. I will remind you that that vision was birthed out of a conversation with God's steward who asked me, if the campus or if a site was provided, would I be willing to lead our fellowship to relocate? And I can just tell you, nothing excited me about putting a for sale sign in the front yard of this campus for one reason. I didn't want to fool with having this, all that would be involved with selling a campus. Thank the Lord somebody was, because they sold a campus and moved way out here in the country, remember? But I'm just being transparent with you. It really did not excite me. And I said, will you allow me to pray? And graciously, I was given time to pray and reflect. And the moment I said, dear Lord, He spoke. And He said, why do you want to sell the campus? So when you have those experiences, folks, it's either the Lord speaking or something you ate that night, all right? And so I had to try and discern, Lord, what is this you? And I began to remember. And he began to remind me of how this campus was being used, not just Wednesdays and Sundays, but how it was being used throughout the week as a resource to minister and bless not only our church family, but our community. And with that, he impressed on my heart, why do you want to sell? Through faith, folks, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. I stepped back and I said, Lord, I believe in faith. This is your work, not mine. And I went to the Lord's steward and I shared this experience. An affirmation was given to this vision, and our church family embraced this vision. And we had the future of being able to establish a second campus, one campus primarily for the ministering and serving to our community, a second campus for being able to disciple and equip people for ministry. But there's only one problem. We didn't have a location. And there were properties on Timber East that we had identified that would be a good location. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Where we are today compared to where that campus is in 10 years is going to be huge. It's going to be huge. Just like the location we have today compared to where it was. We didn't move that far, but it's huge. And that location in 10 years and probably even before that is going to be even more so. But there was one problem. There were 36 acres broken up into 9 tracts. There was an extended family that owned all 4 tracts. There were X number on this tract, X number on this tract, so forth. And when we went to talk with them, they said, you buy it all or none. I was told by people in this community who knew more than I, for y'all to get just 2 tracts and not have to buy all 4, just 2 tracts, God will have to do it. So we prayed and we waited. Thomas Pierce, who's one of our deacons, an African American, was painting for a matriarch of one of the people of one of the pieces that we wanted. And as he was doing some paintwork for this dear lady, she said, you know, there's a white church that wants to buy our property. And he said, what church is that? And she said, First Baptist Garner. And he said, that's my church. Less than 2 weeks, she said, we'll sell. And then the people, the extended family beside her said, we'll sell. Today, we are stewards of that piece of property. Now, I won't take the time to go into more detail other than to say that when we went to closing, we were able to walk away as stewards of 12 acres on this north side of timber without any debt. How many remember 88 and 8? To be able to do that, we had to raise $88,000 for a piece of property that was well over $1 million. That would be including the north side that we eventually sold. But we needed to go to closing, and we wanted to go and be debt-free, and we needed to raise $88,000 in 8 days. And then in those 8 days, God, through the generosity of you, was given over $200,000. So I say this. We have our own memorials. Let's go on. God didn't bring us from there not to take us in. And to be able to have the faith and face the challenges that we'll face and have faced, it will require us to take time to remember. And God will build your faith and build my faith, and we can move on. Let's pray together. This morning, as you have an opportunity to reflect on how God has spoken to you personally, I want to reiterate, God didn't bring you from there just to leave you without direction, without purpose. But let me just acknowledge the fact that there may be someone that's here and you're still there. You're still in bondage. You're still in need of being liberated and free from sin, from failure. All of us have been there. And today you can be liberated from that. God can bring you from there by simply acknowledging your need of Jesus Christ, confessing sin and acknowledging Christ as the one who can forgive and restore that sin. And right where you're sitting, you can call out to Him. But many that I speak to today have previously made that decision, and I'm telling you, God didn't save you to be a monument. He didn't bring you from there to leave you there. He brought you from there to do immeasurably more, to do the unexplainable, to do and advance His kingdom's work. And I want you to take a moment this morning to reflect on the time that God brought you from there and entrust Him, whether it's in your individual life or church, whether it's us collectively together, trust Him to move forward with what He has in store for us. Would you take a moment to pray? Father, I thank You today for Your faithfulness. And Lord, You tell us with little faith, with the faith of a mustard seed, You can do the unexplainable. Lord, I thank You for the reminder from Your Word of the importance of having that memorial so we can tell our story over and over again, so we can share it with a generation that is to follow. And Lord, as I think about those early brothers and sisters in Christ, they were preparing for a generation that had not even yet been born. And we too have that opportunity today. So as we begin this new year, as we focus in on the work that You're doing, may Your faithfulness in our personal life and our life as a body of believers, may our faith be increased to trust You for the days ahead. And it's in the precious name of Christ we pray. Amen.